Welcome to Being a Successful Leader with Carl Welty. Carl is a leadership pioneer with years of challenging leadership and consulting experience. Here's Carl with some valuable insights, practical and proven methods for being a successful leader.
Greetings, everyone. Carl Welty here. The intent of the series is to help you as a leader or aspiring leader to give you valuable insights. The topics are all on leadership and practical and proven know-how. I've had a passion about organization, team, and leader effectiveness throughout my professional career, and that's evident as I look back on it. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to feed that passion through having leadership positions myself in various organizations, as well as having the opportunity both inside and outside organizations to do training, consulting, and coaching on an ongoing basis. So along the way, I picked up a lot of what I call stuff. And the purpose of this series is to pass these on to you. And rather than just talk about concepts, so many of the books and everything, concepts of leadership and so forth, it's concepts plus hands-on kinds of things, as much as we can have hands-on kinds of things in leadership. And so that's the intent of the series. The series revolves around three of my leadership imperatives. The first is leadership starts with you. It begins with you, self-aware and skillful you. And then you move out and you forge a strategy. So the second book is all about making and fulfilling your dreams as a leader, developing a sound strategy. And the third of the three is then you need people to rally around that sound strategy. You know, you don't lead in a vacuum, of course, and you need a team to move ahead. So those are the three imperatives, being a successful leader, having a sound strategy, and then creating a culture of commitment. The nice part about this series, this is our 50th episode in the series. And the nice part that I like about it is that we have opportunity to chat just a little bit about something that may be of interest to you. And if you're want to dive further or to reinforce or to later on come back to the topic, we have a couple of sources for you. One is my website, welty.com. And if you just scroll over to Leadership Resources, click on books. I've got three books, one book for each of the three imperatives I just talked about. You can click on the book and get a little brief preview, and you can also order them from my web through Amazon or through Barnes & Noble or through the publisher Ewing's Publishing. Also, in addition to the books, you can capture any past episode by going to webtalkradio.net, webtalkradio.net, and on there you'll see all the episodes. And you can click on any one you care to and review it once again, listen to it once again, or for the first time. So I like the idea. We talk about it briefly, but you have resources on an ongoing basis to help you out there. Okay, the topic today is coaching your new associate. So important. Get off on the right foot. And hopefully you've done the due diligence of assuring a good position fit between your opportunity and whoever it is that you selected to fill that opportunity. And in the book, Building Commitment, the targeted selection process we reviewed there, and it's all about looking at the position profile, what's the role and results of the position, but then going beyond that, looking at what I call position success factors. What's going to make for success for a person in this particular position? If it's a leadership role position, you have leadership and management, and then you have the technical work areas. But what are the attributes you need for people to succeed in this particular position? Could be knowledge, skills. It could be natural core kinds of talents. Could be mental models. All of those sorts of things. So you've done the job. And if you haven't reviewed the target selection portion of our podcast, be sure and do that. And that's, again, in Building Commitment. It'll serve you very well for any one of your hires or any one of your selections, be they external hires or internal placements. Okay, so you've done a good job, let's say, and you think you got a pretty good job fit. Because if you don't, what we're going to talk about now is, you know, just we're making veneer adjustments here. But if you have a misfit, that person's way overqualified or way underqualified, we're talking about something different. But here we're going to assume that you made a good selection, a good job fit. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is approach. The approach as you have this new person in here. I recommend highly the collaborative approach on an ongoing basis versus I'm here when you need me kind of thing. I hear that's you want to reap your investment here. So you got to work with this person. As a matter of fact, when they first start off, if you recall, again, we talked about several times during our series, what I call the leader manager decision-making options. You have a directive where you're really close and they talking about the job and what's on, giving direction. And then as a person matures, talked a lot about maturity level in the series, mature being a combination of competence and commitment. The person grows, matures, gets used to the position and the roles and responsibilities. Then you can back off the directive and go to the collaborative approach, where it's an ongoing conversation. Performance coaching, again, it's highlighted in the Building Commitment book, where you want to have ongoing conversations about the work of the position. And that's very, very important. So you have collaborative and you have directive. And if the person continues to mature, you can back off and go to the directive approach, the delegative approach, where you don't have to have as many or as deep conversations as when the person is maturing, but you still need to pay attention to them. Even your superstars, don't neglect them. Stay close and have ongoing performance coaching conversations. Now, again, as I mentioned, you want to use one of those approaches depending on the maturity of the new hire that you have or the new selection. And you don't want to have a laissez-faire kind of thing, like, I'm here if you need me. And that's the worst thing you can do. Okay. Then you need a plan. So you have the right approach based on the person's maturity, and then a plan. You just don't leave it a chance. And then the third thing in terms of your approach is the one-on-one meetings, which I discuss often in this series. These are short hour, maybe at the most hour and a half or so, meetings periodically every week, every couple of weeks with each of your key associates. And as I mentioned in the guidelines there, you try to make it as much the associates meeting as yours, and maybe more so. And that's a good time for performance coaching too, by the way. Okay, there's the approach, using the appropriate decision-making approach and then having a plan and then taking avail of these one-on-one meetings. And the assessment, again, is the position maturity level, the relevant competence and commitment of your new selection here. The accountabilities will be the results. What's their maturity in terms of the results of the position? And how about the responsibilities, the tasks, the work they personally need to perform? So what is their relative maturity? And then you pace with where they're at, as we say, in terms of those accountabilities and responsibilities. In terms of getting started, again, I'm a big fan of these one-on-one meetings, how best to work together. And you talk about what the purpose of the one-on-one meetings, the process that you're going to follow. And again, as I said in the earlier podcast and in the book on building commitment, you don't want to have a very strict agenda. You want to have maybe open-ended, maybe at the beginning you talk about what we need to discuss here. And the frequency of these meetings, every week, every couple of weeks, recommended that you have a folder, a manila folder. You just throw notes in there for your next one-on-one meeting with this particular associate that you have. So getting started, one-on-one meetings. Also, as you get started, I think it's important to discuss, and again, we've talked about this throughout the series, your personal and their personal tendencies, priorities, and preferences. This is stuff that is mainly at the subconscious level, on how we tend to behave and think, and that sort of thing. And a lot of it is our core, how we came on the planet, and a lot of it is our mental models, the stuff we picked up along the way. And they tend to form how we think and behave and make decisions. It's kind of neat to get those out on the table, your personal preferences, so we can sync with one another as we go along. It may be that you're a person who likes to get to the point right away. Well, okay, that's fine. No goodness or badness in that, but talk about that. And so your associate maybe needs to speed things up once in a while and not give you too much detail. On the other hand, maybe you like a lot of detail. And so you just don't want the answer. You want to kind of know the rationale. Those kinds of things, I think, are important to talk about up front. And another one, not so much at the beginning, the actual kickoff of your relationship, but along the way, every so often, and again, we've talked about this before, a help or hinder exercise is that you calibrate your relationship. What am I doing that's particularly helpful? What would you like me to see do more of or start doing to be helpful? And what am I doing that's a hindrance? What do you want me to kind of back off of or stop doing? I may or may not, if I'm the leader, I may or may not agree with you, but it's important to talk about these sorts of things. And maybe sometimes give the rationale behind why I'm working with you this particular way. A dynamite exercise, again, to recalibrate your relationship as you grow and the person matures to make sure that you're aligned. Okay, getting started ideas there for you. Also, in getting started, there's an organizational orientation that you need to have. Again, it depends if the person's coming from the inside or higher from the outside. But especially from the outside, you need to have a discussion about the industry and the business, what they need to know about that, the mega picture, if you will. Another thing you'd want to do is discuss your organization as a whole. Again, if it's an internal placement versus an outside hire, you can maybe not spend as much time there. But that's important, too, to give them the context of their particular role, their position in the organization. And then we go to your organizations. If you have a sound strategy, like we've talked about in the previous series and in my book, Making Infilling Dreams as a Leader, you want to certainly discuss that. And they may have a particular role in the sound strategy. A lot of it depends on their level in your organization and your level. They may inherit a sound strategy, a part of your sound strategy. They may need to craft a sound strategy with you. Or maybe they're a strategy champion, like we talked about, in terms of one of your strategic initiatives in your master plan. Okay, then we move to the position. So we started broad and then moved to the organization and now the position. And here I talk about a position plan. All the things we talk about in this particular episode, we discussed along the way in this particular series. These are practices, tools that you can pull together. And certainly a lot of them right here in the kickoff for you and this new associate. The position plan, again, to repeat, is a living, working document that defines the role and the set of results that this particular position we're talking about here now, this new associate's position, is organized to achieve those reporting to it too. So living, working document that defines the role and set of results, a position, and those reporting to it, if any, are organized to achieve. And again, the ingredients, the structure of position plan is the purpose, that one sentence summary of why does this position exist? And then there are a set of performance requirements. And we talked about the structure there. You divide the position into logical clusters. I call them key result areas. And if it's a leadership position, we give you one, and that's leadership and management, and the other two, three, or four, five maybe at the most, are technical work, key result areas. Each one having an objective, what's the outcome we're trying to achieve in this particular key result area, and then a set of desired results, bullet point kinds of statements. How do we know success when we see it in meeting this particular objective in this particular key result area? So maybe you have one already for the position, and then you need to review it with the new person you have. And you may buy, they have their own thoughts, and so you need to have performance coaching conversations around that. You may tweak your position plan a little bit. Remember, one of the main benefits of a Position plan is a living, working document meant to be not used all the time, but occasionally you have an issue or so forth. You pull the thing out and you maybe resolve something and plow the understanding back into the position plan. And you date each page, you know, and really becomes a great document. And the benefit many times is not so much the paper, but it's the conversations that you have in terms of trying to mold the role and set of results that an organization position is organized to achieve. And then again, once in a while in the how to do it in your one-on-one meetings, especially if you have to start from scratch, architecting a position plan isn't all that fast or easy. But believe me, what else do you have? And don't tell me about job descriptions and job definitions. Those are practically worthless, describing activities on an organization chart versus a role and set of results. But you can frame it out. I call it framing out. As you have a new person present, perhaps take your one-on-one meetings and maybe start with purpose and spend some time on purpose and then move to the key result areas of those logical clusters of outcomes. And then for each key result area, go ahead with an objective and then a desired outcomes. You can do one of those in each of the meetings. And maybe at the beginning of your relationship, the frequency of your meetings needs to be more often. And you can then, with each meeting, let's say you have a weekly meeting, go right through the ingredients, the segments of a position plan to build it. I highly recommend that. In addition to results, which position plan focuses on, there's also tasks. So what are the things that you think that this person in the position needs to personally perform? Not the results. The results, again, are part of accountability, overall set of results. Responsibility is performing tasks, obligation to perform certain tasks, whereas accountability is obligation to have certain outcomes occur. Two different things. You can't delegate your accountability. The key tasks. So how do you get at those? It may be obvious. It may not. So what you want to do again is you can use your position plan and look at the person's current level of maturity, those two combinations, and decide what are the tasks they should personally perform. What you want to do is you have your key result areas, and for each key result area, take a look at the tasks inside that key result area you think this person should perform. Now, maybe later on as they mature and so forth, they want to delegate it. That may be okay. But given right now, these are the things that you think they should perform. And it could go the opposite way. It could be as they mature, they inherit more doing personal tasks. Whereas now you may be doing it or somebody else is doing it, but it properly belongs in this particular position. So they need to have a little bit more maturity and competence perhaps then before they take over this particular responsibility. So anyway, you got your key result areas, and for each task you identify in the key result area, the next step is what I call task listing. For each task, what is the person doing when performing this key task in a competent manner? What is a person, could be this person or other people you've had or people doing similar things, what are they doing when they're behaving in a competent manner? And that becomes the nucleus of your coaching, training, having them shadow or whatever to become competent in doing that particular task. Now, some tasks may be kind of easy to learn and so forth. Others may not be. And so you may have to have a little developmental strategy here. It may be that you look for opportunities and then do some performance coaching around whatever that task is you want them to begin to become competent in. Are shadowing. They may shadow somebody, maybe you, maybe others that are particularly good in this particular area. And then there may be some formal training. So all those sorts of things, opportunities that arise, performance coaching, shadowing, or training, become a part of the development here and not just leaving it to chance. And then of course, you as a leader want to monitor progress. All right. There you have what I think are some of the key practices. We have talked about them all. We kind of put them together here in this particular bringing a onboarding activity of bringing a hopefully valuable new resource to your team and going through it the right way. So again, all the stuff is there. It's just a matter of using them in a in an effective way. Okay. Probably nothing more to add there. Again, we talked about the importance of a high quality onboarding activity, good quality interaction between you and your new associate, maybe a little more frequent meetings and so forth right at the beginning, having a logical plan, starting with the position plan, the role and results the position's organized to achieve. And if they're part of your sound strategy, what role do they have there? And it may be that they need to be a strategy champion of one of your initiatives. Or they may, if you're head of a large organization and they have a large organization reporting to you, they may need to develop a sound strategy for that organization. And then the backup beyond is a position plan, both to define the role and set of results to be achieved, as well as a way to get at the tasks that they should personally perform. All right, I trust that's helpful to you. And you hopefully made a good selection. And let's capitalize on your investment now by doing some competent leadership and management tutoring here. All right. That's it for this episode. The preview for next time, next week, is I'm going to discuss some research findings by Adam Grant. You may or may not be familiar with Adam Grant. He's a noted scholar at the Wharton School of Business and very, very popular there as a professor, but he's done some good research in terms of the kinds of things we talk about. And in one of his latest books, Give and Take, I'd like to next time review the findings as they relate to you as a leader, and then how this series hopefully has been and can be helpful to you in creating value and using these key findings. Okay, that's our task for next time. In the meantime, have a good week, and we'll see you next week.